This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's happening in the baseball world? I think we take it for granted.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Gone! Number 51 on the season for Shohei Ohtani.
Today's guests, SEC network analyst and Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow. Fox Sports rules analyst Dean Blandino. Actor Tyreek Withers. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM Channel 80. We say hello to everybody out there who's listening to us through our podcast, all 3 hours available, however you get them. And certainly thanks to our partnership with the ESPN Pod Center. We're up there, we're out there, and hopefully you're in there. And hopefully you're also checking us out on our YouTube channel in any way, shape, or form that you can. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And every single follower counts. Certainly my youngest son is counting it. Cooper, this morning when I was seeing him, says, "Dad, you're over 985,000."
Oh,
which is words that, you know, my 14-year-old's never said to me before. So I'm very, very proud of what we're building here on our program. Good to see you over there, Christopher. How are you,
Rich? I'm great. Battled the drizzle this morning to get here.
For those out there nationally who are listening to us, we greatly appreciate being on your local station here. If you're on the ESPN radio network, we're also appreciative of being heard nationally on Sirius XM. Light a candle because it's raining here in Los Angeles, which means people around here don't know how to drive. It's something. But we're here and nice and safely. Is that why Del Tufo's not here? Is he on the side of the road?
I don't know. Perhaps.
Good to see you, Jason.
Good to see
how are you?
Too.
Hey, how's the weather out there?
It's not sunny right now. Candle's lit? Is the candle lit?
Lighting the candle for all those out on the freeway right now.
Yeah, did I say light a candle? I didn't even mean to say that sort of thing, but good to see you.
You too, Rich. How you doing?
I'm good. You're going to Indianapolis this weekend, are you not?
It's starting to hit me. I'm not going to lie to you guys a little. My stomach kind of went a little bit yesterday.
Oh, is that right?
I was filling out a bunch of ESPN paperwork to make it official.
Go. Look at you. You're signing paperwork with ESPN to host along with O'Shea Jackson Jr.
So cool.
No Contest Wrestling is hosting have you been informed it's no longer an hour, it's 2 hours? Am I breaking the news to you?
Welcome to
ESPN, by the way.
The news got broken, and we'll talk later, when I read the official press release in Variety, and it said 2 hours. I was like, oh!
Variety broke the news.
I guess I should have broken the news to you. It was a couple of days ago, like, we'd like them to do two. And I'm like, man, you and O'Shea Jackson Jr. would do 24 days in a row talking about it. Right?
Yeah.
So it's the first PLE on this ESPN app and Disney Plus of the WWE and No Contest Wrestling. Check it out on the ESPN YouTube and Facebook pages on Saturday. Very excited for that expansion of our world.
So cool.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We keep talking about the firsts this year, right? First week of the season, first barn burner of the season. That was a Sunday night football game, to say the least, between the Ravens and the Bills. It's the last time we saw the Bills at home. And in between that game and tonight's Bills' next home game, which is a standalone everybody watches contest on Prime Video, and before those two games, we've seen a lot of other firsts, which is the first team to have to start their backup quarterback, San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, sir.
Soon this weekend, we're going to see the first game between two teams now having to start their backup quarterbacks against one another. It's the Vikings now in Carson Wentz taking on the Cincinnati Bengals and Jake Browning.
Wow.
The Bengals are the first team in the NFL to potentially lose their quarterback to injury for the entire year. 3 months is what we're hearing about for Joe Burrow. When you hear something that's 3 months, that could easily become four and maybe not coming back at all.
Shut it down.
You're also seeing a first that we didn't see but heard about, and that's the first team to hold a players-only meeting And that happened after just one loss by the Miami Dolphins, 2 days after getting spanked by the Indianapolis Colts and Danny Dimes. They held a players-only meeting. And so we have now reached another first. Tonight, the Miami Dolphins are the first team to take the field to potentially play for their coach's job. And it's getting real fast for friend of the program, Mike McDaniel, in Miami. And it's a far cry from the Dolphins making the playoffs in McDaniel's tenure. And it's a far cry from, if you recall, the massive points-a-palooza they put on Sean Payton, if you remember that, in Payton's first year there, where the Dolphins had a chance to damn near put up 80 on Denver. And this was a team that came out of nowhere and put a whole bunch of points on the Ravens defense earlier in the first month of Mike McDaniel's tenure.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
In
game.
Miami.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how this guy is perfect for Tua, and Tyreek Hill's coming and talking about how Tua's thrown, a better ball than Mahomes. And we've come a long way from all of that.
Yeah.
Because now we're wondering if McDaniel is right for Tua, or Tua is right for the contract that he's gotten based on some of the McDaniel's right for Tua moments. And this team is not only 0-2, they are a hard 0-2, a blowout loss on the road, uncompetitive performance in week one, players only meeting 2 days after, 5 days after the players only meeting, a home date with the New England Patriots in front of a lot of empty seats in Hard Rock. But that, you know, might be because it's a billion degrees out in Miami and everybody's out doing other things, but not a packed house in Hard Rock. One of the people in their seats is Stephen Ross, the owner, and he watches the Patriots take care of business against Miami. And when you lose a division game at home to go 0-2 after a blowout loss that caused you to have a players only meeting 2 days after that, 5 days after that, the dreaded home division loss. If you have that, you're a hard 0-2. Hard 0-2. 0-2 in conference, 0-1 in division, 0-1 at home in division, 1-1 in terms of week one losses and players only meetings. And there's somebody who's hiring a message to fire everybody on a plane above the stadium. Mike McDaniel spoke this week about his job status and how he's approaching his everyday status himself.
I think if I worry about my job security, I won't be doing my job. And I think that inherently is against all things that I believe in. I've never felt entitled to any sort of I've never felt entitled to this position, and it's very important for me to spend all of my waking hours worrying about exactly how to do my job and what and all the residual effects of that are. There's a lot of people affected, so yeah, I won't spend one moment thinking about all the things that whatever people want me to think about. I'm thinking about this team and the Buffalo Bills here after I get done with this podium.
That was post game on Sunday, and then he shows up on Monday and he's asked about control of the locker room. Again, you know, in the NFL, we look at head coaches like Dan Campbell, right? We're biting kneecap off. We're gonna come at you. We're gonna bark. We're gonna hit you. Big, imposing former tight end in this league, and then you see a guy who says the word inherently, and you think he can't coach in the NFL. I mean, did Rex Ryan call him nerd boy on Get Up? I mean, yeah. That he's got glasses. By the way, hey, Rex, am I a nerd boy? For ESPN Radio and Sirius XM and our podcast listeners, I just put on my glasses. Don't answer that, Rex.
I was about to say, is that rhetorical? Or?
You know. But it's always the case, right, in how visuals do matter, right? Joe Torre, perfect example. when he doesn't show, he doesn't show any emotion. He never did, right? He used to sit there and
he looked like he was half asleep.
Right. And half the time he and Don Zimmer were probably talking about the ponies that they had just bet on earlier in the day. I don't know
where they're eating later.
But, you know, if you're losing, it's just like, can you show pulse? Do you remember Kevin McReynolds of the Mets?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And he was struggling, but he never showed any emotion. And I heard from Met fans, my brother, you know, other friends of mine, who would be just like, can he take a bat to the Gatorade jug just once? So it's, shows us that it means a lot, you know.
Yeah, did Kevin Mack hit three home runs? Did he strike out three times? You don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. So when you're winning, it's just like, boy, this guy is just shows no pulse, and it's just like everybody's just following, staying calm, and winning. But when you're losing, it's just like, can you show some emotion, please? And you know, for McDaniel, it's like when you're winning, it's like, boy, this guy's a genius. He's thinking next level stuff. Remember we had Andrew Hawkins here. Remembers how he was with the Browns on the staff, and he was talking about footwork and where to place your feet as a wide receiver, and it unlocked him and it unlocked a bunch of people. Guy's a genius. Damn near puts up 80 points on the Denver Broncos. He comes back on the Ravens. Tua's playing well. I mean, the guy's a genius. Now you start losing, and it's just like, are you a molder of men or are you not? You know, you can give me a terrific synonym for the word mold, but how about actually molding this team? Can you, I mean, Tyreek Hill is even like, you know, why are we running behind a fullback? And McDaniel goes to the podium and goes, his name's Alec Ingold. We have one. So when you lose, you get questions like this the day after you're talking about your job status.
I think if there was anything that would lend me to believe that messages weren't being received, then you address those things. That to me, I think you know, I've seen a team that is trying to do everything they can to win, and coming up short and pressing forward and trying to change that result.
And again, it's part and parcel. It's just, that's the way he talks. He's very methodical in choosing his words. He has a large vocabulary. He's a smart guy. And I'm sure people in Miami are like, so when you were asked about control of the locker room, can you just say, I've got it. Next question. Maybe. Yeah, I've got control of the locker room. Just watch the way we're going to play this weekend. You know, I was talking to the guys the other day. You know, you ask them. Tonight's the rubber meeting the road. I mean, if they get smoked, if it's like a Brandon Staley-type blowout, and again, I bring that up again because Brandon Staley lost his gig when he was on the road in division when everyone's wondering, do you have control of the locker room? Do you know what you are doing around here? And he goes to Vegas and damn near, you know, winds up, you know, getting hit by everything from the kitchen sink, the Raiders threw at him, to Carrot Top. Carrot Top might have come in here and just started hitting him.
That game felt like 70 to nothing.
What was the final score?
No, I'm going to look
at it. And Al Michaels is just like, shut your mouth, Rich, because I had to call that game, and I don't want to fly all the way to Western New York on Air Al to call another one. Because everybody's thinking that, and the recent history ain't good.
It was 63-21.
The Miami Dolphins have lost to the Bills in 13 of the last 14 meetings. The only win is a September 2022 nail-biter in a very hot and humid day in Miami. 21-19 was the final. The Bills have won the last past nine at home. And the Dolphins' most recent win was in Orchard Park, a 34-31 overtime game on Christmas Eve, which led to the Bills firing their head coach at the time. And he's the guy that called Mike McDaniel nerd boy. That was his last day as a head coach in the NFL. So the way through is this. Tua, hold on to the ball. Tua, make your connections. Tua, don't turn it over. And I understand I'm laying a lot at the feet of the quarterback, but it's a quarterback-driven league. Just look at the other guy tonight who was playing the position. See what he does. They came up with a 20-point win in New York just 5 days ago.
He didn't do anything.
And he didn't score. He didn't account for a single touchdown. Yeah. James Cook did for two. And that's the way through as well. Devin Achane, that's the guy. Achane scored the only touchdown for the Dolphins in week one.
Yeah, he's looked good.
He scored again in week two on a 29-yard pass from Tua. He almost scored a second time. If he didn't step out of bounds, mm-hmm. then everything else that happened after that where the Patriots put a sack of palooza on Tua to end the game, it would have been Drake May trying to win it.
Yep.
Achane's the way through, especially when the guys right up the middle, Ed Oliver and Matt Milano, are out. That's the way through the tackles. Can they hit people in the mouth? And can you win the game for your coach? Do you believe in him or not? Because if you go to 0-3 and you get blown out and you don't have another non-compete game in front of the whole country, I don't know what Stephen Ross is going to do. Tua's 0-2 for the first time in his career. We're in the land of the unknown for the Dolphins. Because they'd be 0-3 and a hard 0-3 because now you're 0-2 in division and the team that's roosted atop your division has just beaten you. I know it's kind of unfair to lay all the eggs in this basket when it's a short week game in division in a very tough place to play, as we saw for the Ravens in week one, and we'll see for every other team that walks into this building in the last year of this building. People are looking at every single game as a last here and a first there. It's a big one tonight. On Thursday Night Football, I think I've set the stage for the stakes. We got a fun show in store. Dean Blandino, the former head of NFL officiating, now a rules analyst for Fox. I called him in person to the studio. I texted him.
Oh, okay.
But he's coming here.
Nice.
He said he's done with the tush push. Done with it. That's what he said during the broadcast. I'm done with this. So we're going to talk with him about the first 2 weeks of the season. Then in hour number three, the star, one of the stars of the new movie Him, Tyreek Withers, who plays the quarterback in question, he's in studio hour three. Apparently, he has as many different teams that he roots for as you do, TJ.
So we spread the love around.
Including Florida State. You share a lot.
I know he played.
He played there. But first up, Tim Tebow. Let's talk college football. Let's talk Tebow time. Let's just go down memory lane with the highly popular T-Squared here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, to have a chat with us.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's been a very long time since I've chatted with. Is this the first time he's joined our program? I think it is.
I gotta think so.
I think so. We're turning 11 next month, ladies and gentlemen. Courtesy of Allstate, ESPN, and so much more. Tim Tebow, everybody.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me. Come on, it's been way too long since I've talked to you, so it's good to connect, man.
Well, Tim, I think pop it up on the screen. I just heard. I just been surprised by my own team. We have a photograph. Look at us. Look at the baby faces on the screen right there.
Wow.
Tim. Look at that.
Gosh, I wish I got to see it. Come on.
That's it right there. That's it. That's where we're little babies in 2012. February. This is a Super Bowl in 2012. Back in the day, man. And look at you now. You're fine wine. I don't know what's happened to me. You know what I mean? I've fallen apart.
All I know is the run, Rich, run, man. Your form's getting better every year. I love it. I mean, most of us just decline in our athleticism, and you just continue to grow and adapt and improve. I love it.
I appreciate that, Tim. It's good to see you. So let's talk a little ball first before we get into the matter at hand about what's going on. I'll just jump in and give you the floor on what's happening at your alma mater and your two cents on what's happening there, Tim. What do you think?
Well, I actually think that there's a lot. It's people won't fully understand this, but there's a lot to actually be encouraged about. If you actually watch the all 22 and the coaches tape, you go to Death Valley at night against one of the top teams in the country. And for a lot of areas, you match them stride for stride. And in some areas you outperform them, but you're just not going to win with five turnovers. I don't care what level, when you lose five turnovers to, I believe, one, like you're not going to win. When your defense really shuts them to 10 points, but your offense gives them another 10, like it's too hard to win, especially in the SEC at night. And so I think when you really look at it, there's a lot to be encouraged, but you have to win in situational football. And there's a reason why those always get talked about as the fundamentals. Turnovers, scoring in the red zone, penalties, third downs. There's just certain things that are always the basics. And you have a team that in areas of playing really well, but in some of the fundamentals, the penalties, the turnovers, scoring in the red zone, when you lose all of those, it makes it almost impossible to win the game. And so that's just areas. The situational football is where we have to improve.
Which is the best team in the SEC through the first almost month of the season then, would you say, Tim?
I think the first team came to my head was probably Oklahoma. When you look at their violent, aggressive defense, when John Mateer as a quarterback, he's fun to watch. He's twitchy. He's a twitchy dude. I think he's probably kind of has a little bit of that Johnny Manziel twitch in the pocket, ability to get it out really fast, super accurate. Their receivers, underrated, can make a lot of plays, like just can take the top off. I'm excited to see when they get more of these backs going, Jaden Ott and some of these other guys going. I think they can improve their running game. But that Michigan team was a good team. That the game was closer. The score was closer than I think it really was. Like, they really dominated a lot of that. Michigan had the one big play to start the second half and made it feel closer. But that was a really good performance by Oklahoma. But I also think you cannot take Auburn lightly this weekend because they're much improved. Jackson Arnold be a good storyline coming back to Norman. But they're getting better. And Auburn's receivers are pretty darn athletic, and they can take the top off and make big plays, and their defense is improved. So I'm excited. We actually will fly to Norman here in a couple of hours to be a part of that for SEC Nation. So it'd be fun.
Yeah, I can understand why you'd think Mateer is fun to watch, but you know, I did go to the University of Michigan. That was not fun to watch. And I can confirm to you, Tim, that the scoreboard difference felt much larger watching. That it felt as if this thing was over. And obviously I was hoping that there would be some form of a Tebow time-like comeback, you know, with a few minutes to go. But that did not materialize, Tim.
You have to be encouraged by Bryce Underwood.
Oh, my God. I've never seen – Tim, I'll say to you what I've said here. I went to school starting there in 1986. So from Harbaugh to the present day, I've seen Michigan quarterbacks, including Brady, including name it. Chad Henne had a big arm. Joe Milton, while he had a cup of coffee there, obviously had a big arm. I've never seen an arm like this attached to a body like that in one human being playing quarterback for Michigan ever.
It's so crazy. So flew to Pasadena for the cover shoot for the EA Sports game. And mm-hmm. So there's all these different players, you know, Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith and everyone. And Bryce Underwood is there, and he's right beside me as we're taking some of the photos. And I'm standing beside Coach Day and some of the other coaches, and we're talking. And I'm like looking, and I'm like, it's my first time to see him. I've seen some of his tape, but it's my first time to see him up close and personal. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, this is crazy. Like, it's what a lot of people see. Think the first time they see Cam Newton is you're like, whoa, like, yep. It's just different. It's right. It's just, I'm not saying other guys aren't athletic or gifted at all. You're just saying like, wow. Like when God made him, he just made him bigger, stronger, faster. Like, he's just gifted. Like, it's just different. And you're like, he, like, his size and his length and the physicality, he looks like he's 24. And you know, it just, it's so gifted. And I'm really excited to see. And everybody's like, well, week one, week two, you know. And you're like, no, he's still a baby, and he's got to give time to develop and learn. And just because you're that talented doesn't mean everything's going to come easy. And I actually think that he's handled the pressure really well. I'm excited to see, you know, what he's going to become, because his gifts are just off the charts.
Yeah, we had him here in studio in the summertime, and my oldest son is 17, and I kept looking at Bryce Underwood, and I'm like, they're the same age, and I'm like, wow. And what you said about Cam too, Tim, that Super Bowl where I met you, that photograph of us is from the Super Bowl where I met Cam for the first time. It's the one in Indianapolis where Eli dropped that ball to Mario Manningham on the sideline for a touchdown to beat, or a big play to lead to the eventual game winner against the Patriots. I met Cam there for the first time and had the same reaction. And then I just saw Cam again in Brazil because he's part of a YouTube broadcast of Chiefs and Chargers. And I still had the same reaction of just like, I cannot believe you played quarterback in the National Football League. It's just monstrously large person, incredibly talented as well. Before we move on, what advice would you give Arch Manning right now? Tim Tebow.
That's a good question.
I'd
encourage him, like, man, you're a gifted player. You're a really good player. You just need to be encouraged. Remember it for the love of the game. He's at a location right now with great coaches, great players around him, but there's just a lot of pressure, and the pressure is real, and it's hard to sometimes explain that to people. And one of the easier examples I would try to use is look at the PGA Tour or LIV Golf, right? When they show up on Thursday and they've had practice rounds, look at the scores, but then look at the scores on the same course on Sunday. What's the difference? You've played it more. The only difference is it's Sunday pressure, right? And that just gives an example of pressure is real. And so I just encourage him, remember the love of the game and play for it. And you don't have to make every play. You don't have to be perfect. I have really appreciated the way he's carried himself for 3 years now. I appreciated the way that he's handled it as a teammate with Quinn and when he took over, the way he's handled even some of the disappointments. I think he's a great example of someone that has handled hype and criticism. He hasn't pointed fingers. Just handled it really well. So I just say, one, I'm proud of it, proud of the way he's handled it, but also, like, try to block that out and remember how much you love the game. And yeah, people will keep talking. There'll be praise and there'll be criticism. A lot of time, you know, maybe the praise is, you know, sometimes, you know, off the charts, and this criticism is too. And it's usually somewhere in between. And just try to block it out. Love the game. Love your teammates. Enjoy it. You know, it was probably advice I needed a lot, especially my senior year, because we weren't just playing against the team we played. We were also playing against what we had done in the past and the hype or the criticism of it. And, you know, I needed to be reminded, and I should have done a better job of trying to keep that in perspective and just handle it and remember how much I love this game and my teammates and how much I dislike the rivals, and just remember the love of the game that I grew up running into the yard and couldn't wait to go throw. And every commercial break, I would run and go dive and score a touchdown. And before I'd run back in, like, remember that. And I think that is just so important, especially when, you know, he can't go walk anywhere, get outside of it. Like, that's different. And it's hard sometimes for people to just understand, like, if you can't walk anywhere, you can't really talk to anybody about it, because, you know, it's hard. Who do you trust? Who do you have? And how he has this awesome family, but it's just different. And so I think I just try to understand it and have, I think, just a level of understanding and a level of compassion for where he's at.
Well, my follow-up to that is, did you ever have to have that conversation with yourself as a pro when you were in the NFL?
When
in particular?
Several times in training camps, where you would just be getting, you know, crushed, you know, with criticism, and you'd like, I needed to be remembered. Like, I needed to remember and be reminded that I can play this game. And you need that encouragement. And I remember a few times having to go back and, like, being so discouraged that I would have to go back and I needed to go put on a highlight video or go watch or be encouraged. Man, I can go do this, you know? And remember that love of the game, to truly try to block out the noise and, like, remember the love of the game, because I think the, you know, perfect love casts out fear. Remember why you're doing it. Love it. Fall in love with it again. Try to get rid of the noise. And And then remember the relationships with your teammates. And those were the best ways for me to kind of get through it and kind of rebuild confidence.
Well, I mean, I've seen you in person play as a professional on NFL Network. And the whole Tebow time conversation with you, Tim, where it would be darn near 56 minutes of struggle. And the last 4 minutes, I'm serious, man. I've seen it. It was real. I saw it on a Thursday night against the Jets where Tim Tebow time hit and you became, it looked like a different player. Did you feel something different? Because it was real to me. And I'm wondering how real it was to you that it's Tebow time in the NFL. Right. I've seen
sometimes
it.
Sometimes I just wish I could have been better in the first three quarters. Like,
I know.
I remember I even had one, maybe two Coach Bear, I remember one conversation. He was like, hey, man, that was the end of the game. That was awesome. How can we do that in the first half? And I was like, I don't know. It's not that it's a lack of effort or focus. I don't know. I just, you know, it's the more you get into the game and the rivalry and the heat of it or those moments, I just, I don't know. I just always have loved it. What doesn't matter the sport or the age of it. I love those moments. And I felt like it was just for some reason I'd play better. Now I should have just really learned how to just play better in the first three quarters.
Right.
Have a different conversation.
Well, I mean, and last one, and then we'll get to what we were going to discuss with Allstate. The first ever NFL playoff game with the new overtime rules where a touchdown wins it, field goal doesn't, but a touchdown does. Jim Nantz on CBS was barely halfway through describing what the new overtime rules were when you hit Demaryius Thomas to beat the Steelers. What was that moment like for you from overtime conversation to huddle to snap, play call, all of that, if you don't mind walking me through that?
Yeah, it was surreal, the celebration. But one of the fascinating things, Rich, about that play is we had been in that formation. Goodness, I remember off the top of my head, on first down, maybe 20-something times in the game. And getting ready for the overtime, we had been running a lot of zone read. Because their ends were so gifted that why would we not just read them instead of block them when they're somewhat unblockable? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, especially a James Harrison. So we were like, let's just read them. So we had run that quite a few times in the game. And so we were on the sidelines and we had that pass concept we ended up using, but we had never done it out of that formation. And I think we had only ever done it out of under center as a play action. So, Coach McCoy, we are sitting down. We think, what can we do this off of the gun? So we literally, although we've done that play action and we've done the route concept, we've never done it all together. And so that was a first time we had ever done that in overtime. And when I get when I walk up to the line and we're calling the protection, I'm looking. I'm like, there's no way. Like, are they really playing zero right now? And honestly, it's because of the run, and they wanted both of those safeties to be able to come in and fill and gap contain. And so I'm just like, no way. And so I get the snap and the play action. I'm thinking, is this safety not going to get back? And they didn't. So now you see both of them that are dropping down, and Demaryius gets behind them and throw it, and then Demaryius does the rest and the stiff arm and running down the sideline. And one of my favorite moments about that is when you watch the coach's copy, or maybe even I think it was on CBS, the CBS copy, you can see as Demaryius is running down the sideline, Champ Bailey, a Hall of Fame cornerback that is an amazing leader and awesome friend and awesome guy, is how much a veteran like that cares. He's sprinting down the sideline almost as fast as DT is. And DT is really fast. And that just shows like the relationships and that brotherhood on that team, that you have one of the best players at his position ever, maybe, and Champ cares that much that he is on the sideline and he is sprinting full speed right beside DT. And it's just one of my favorite things to show the belief and the family and the friendship that team really had.
What was the moment like when you saw Elway after that, Tim?
It's just surreal. I mean, all of the coaches, all of the staff, all of the front office, right. It was, I think one of my favorite things about it was watching all of my teammates be celebrated by the stands that didn't leave. Like, they stayed there for like what felt like forever. They just stayed, and people stayed and celebrated. And it's just such a special moment. It really was. And it's a moment that I just think was really special, and the way that it was celebrated by so many. And I wish I could keep celebrating it with DT, and you'll miss it a lot.
Well said. Well put, Tim. Let's talk about the Allstate AFC Good Works team. What is it? What should people know about it, and maybe get involved in any way, shape, or form?
Well, what they should know about it is this is an incredible award for what these young men are doing, not on the field, but off the field. Because, Rich, there's so many amazing awards for how they perform on the field, but this is for who they are and the impact they're making off of the field. And that's why I'm so grateful for Allstate and the AFC Good Works team of celebrating these young men, because it is so important that young people have role models, not just for what they do on a field or a court or in a sport, but what they do and who they are off of it and the impact they're making. And we look at what these young men are doing, like Adam Randall at Clemson, and the difference he's making in South Carolina and South Africa, or Coach Venerables and the difference he's making as the honoree coach, or Josh Gattis, a tight end for Kentucky, or Richie Leonard and the offensive lineman for FSU. And you know he's doing making an amazing job, if I'm going to highlight an FSU player as a Gator. all of these players and the difference that they're making, and truly the impact that they're having. And I've been able to see it firsthand. I've been able to see it through stories. I've been able to see it through lives and communities, and it's just so special. You know, like, take Michael Taft, the safety at Texas, that's an incredible player, and you know, every time he gets a tackle, it's Taft's tackles in fighting fentanyl awareness. And so I just love it. Like, there's such a, when so many people, especially now in college, are making it about them, they're making it about so many others in their communities, especially those that are suffering. And so I'm so grateful. And I'd love to ask your listeners to go to ESPN.com/Allstate and go vote for who you believe should be the team captain, who will also receive the Allstate Werfel Trophy. Danny was a hero to me. And so it's awesome that we get to celebrate that. And there's so many amazing stories. So go vote for who you believe should be the team captain.
Yeah, man. You were the 2008 Allstate Werfel Trophy recipient and a 2009 Good Works team member. So obviously this has been around a while, and fans can vote through November 10th who should win the 2025 Allstate Werfel Trophy recipient. Great to see you, Tim. Let's do this more often, man. This was a lot of fun.
Sure,
great memory lane stuff. Great memory lane stuff. And yeah. I believe, again, the day that I met you for the first time was on the NFL Network, NFL Total Access Super Bowl set in Indianapolis, where Madonna showed up as well. I don't know if you crossed paths with Madonna on that day, Tim, but
I don't think I did, at least not on that show.
Yeah,
but
it was, yeah.
I love it. What a great, awesome memory. I love it. Let's do it again soon, brother. Thank you.
That's Tim Tebow. Obviously, you could check him out on the SEC Network through ESPN and right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't remember why I remember that Madonna was there that day.
I think I know.
If Del Tufo was here, he'd know too, because she came to the set and I handed him my BlackBerry, and said, "Take pictures, will you please?" And he goes, "I got it."
They were
the blurriest, worst pictures of all time.
And it looked like she was a little dot because it was so far away.
It's when I first began to learn, don't trust him with anything really important.
Yeah, I'll speak for him.
Right. Except, I don't have everything ready.
Except the audio of the program is very important. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a chat with us here on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen Show, ESPN Radio, is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Great fun stuff with Tim Tebow. You like his advice for Arch? Just go back to when you started loving football.
Yeah, I do like that.
You know,
didn't we all do that as kids, man? Watching football commercials. get up, have a catch.
Go. There's a lot of stuff being written and said about Arch right now.
Which is?
That is probably not going to age well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It won't. I mean, he is struggling.
Sure.
To put up numbers worthy of being a Heisman Trophy candidate.
He had five touchdowns last game.
And how about, I mean, I understand that. But I'm just saying.
I know.
It is unfair. He wasn't coming out saying, I'm a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Well, no, we just saw the name, and he plays for Texas, and they're number one preseason. And so myself included, they just kind of anointed him.
Yeah. And then it's human nature to want to tear somebody down because they're doing well, or you don't want to see them do well, which, you know, we see every day.
I guess it just comes down to it. What's going to happen towards the end of the year? When Texas does make the college football playoff, don't you think they'll make the college football playoff? Don't you think they're going to be one of the 12 teams?
I'd be shocked if they didn't make it, right? But, you know, stranger things have happened.
And that's when the rubber will meet the road. Yeah. For just year one for Arch. And that game against Florida is coming up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Florida not off to a great start, but they did play really good defense against LSU.
As he said, it was everything except, you know,
yeah,
giving the ball away to LSU multiple times.
Don't have five interceptions.
Right. And just don't ask Brian Kelly why he can't run the football. he did say he did say that he needed to do better next time he's asked a question like that.
Well, at least he knew.
Yeah, he did.
Or knows.
Right. 844-204-RICH. Again, the number to dial. Top of the next hour, there's an update on Jaden Daniels.
Oh, please be good. I'm so torn here, Rich. I got real life and I got fantasy football. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, again, at least you didn't spend a third of your guillotine league funds on a guy that isn't going to play this week.
It doesn't matter. He'll play next week.
Okay.
You might be out.
He's not going to sit the whole year, you jerks. All right?
Saying you might lose this week.
I ain't losing this week.
There's a Joe Burrow update. Ben Johnson was asked about, hey, man, Tom Brady's calling your game, you know, what's going on?
What's up with that?
You know, what are you going to say to him? He's calling Bears Cowboys, you know, and he's been around the league a little bit.
And then you put the headset on. You play the Raiders.
Then, then you play the Raiders, yeah, you know, what's up? So Ben Johnson's the first coach to be asked about Tom Brady's conflicts.
I like it.
That's coming up. And Dean Blandino's about to join
us.
He says he's done with the tush push. You know who also is? If you saw Inside the NFL?
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones is very much done with it.
Chris Jones is very much done.
Everything that you thought about him crashing out about the tush push was confirmed by Inside the NFL Films microphone setups.
He's not happy.
Oh, he's done with it.
Yeah, he's not happy.
I'm sick and tired. If somebody keeps on shoving you over and over again, wouldn't you want to push back?
Stop it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He should stop it.
Very good. As I mentioned, Dean Blandino, and then we've got Tyreek Withers of the new film Him, which is a psychological horror football movie.
Oh my gosh.
That's a Mad Lib for you if I've ever heard one.
I thought that was watching the Cowboys each week.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.